o'clock. Coming up at 10:15, hear Flashpoints. Today, guest host Kevin Pina speaks with organizers uniting against military action in Syria, including Medea Benjamin of Code Pink, and Kevin examines the continuing human rights crisis in Egypt. At 11 on Between the Covers, host Leanne Krantz welcomes Oregon author and creative writing teacher Stephen Allred to discuss his debut linked short story collection, A Simplified Map of the Real World. And at 11:30 on Black Book Talk, hosts Patricia Welch, O.B. Hill, and Emma Jackson Ford speak with Denorja Taylor, who writes science fiction for all ages and all kinds of people. But next, it is Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. And that is coming up next on KBOO.
The KBOO Board of Directors elections are underway. KBOO members can vote for up to four candidates. Ballots were mailed in mid-August. If you think you are a KBOO member and have not received a ballot, email membership director Andrew Geller at membership@kboo.org or call 503-231-8032, extension 207. Non-members can join KBOO and receive a ballot to vote. Just go to kboo.fm and click donate on the top right-hand corner. The annual meeting is Sunday, September 15th from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Matt Dishman Community Center at 77 Northeast Knott Street in Portland. You can mail back your ballot or bring it to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Ballots must be postmarked by September 10th or cast at the annual meeting by 2:40 p.m. to count. Get informed, get involved, and vote. Thanks.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, September 5th, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Coming right up, well, the drums of war, it's more like a drum circle with everyone facing outward. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the saber rattling serves to drown out the NSA's thundering silence while they're busily raking in every bit of information. They know more about you than your mother does by this time. And where the Keystone XL line ends, cancer rates are 15% higher and mortality rate is 40% higher than average. How's that work? Closer to home still, Ron Wyden and his healthy forest plan is still not seeing the forest for the tree farms. Weather today, we've got a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs around 68, northwest winds 5 to 8. And for tonight, showers likely, rain could be heavy at times, lows around 61. For tomorrow, showers, highs near 68. Breezy south-southwest winds around 10 miles per hour. For Friday night, mostly cloudy, lows around 58. And not much in the way of winds, 5 to 8 miles per hour. The alternative forecast has this. We've got a new fruit moon in Leo. The moon's 29 days old. The synodic forecast recommends sowing leafy vegetables and annuals that produce above ground. And they also suggest grains. It's a good time also to pick vegetables if they are to be stored, by which they mean don't leave them on the vine. This is a great time for mildews and moles to take over. The biodynamic outlook moon in Leo, it's a fire sign. It's a good time for fruiting plants. Not so good for other things to be sown at the moment. I guess they agree more or less with the synodic forecast and point out also that fruits harvested now will store for longer. The sidereal forecast moon in Leo, dry and barren, good time for garden maintenance. And that's it for your alternative as well as conventional forecasts. Moving straight into news from around Cascadia, which we have somewhat neglected in recent days, the stories focusing on Syria and what more really needs to be said. It's such a terribly bad idea. The distance between the obvious and the propaganda is so extreme, it's ludicrous. Many people, regarding the situation and the problems that we have at home, schools still not properly funded, infrastructure in ruins. There are very few remaining jobs in the country of low-paying service jobs. As far as our track record on racist behavior, it's so abysmal, it hardly bears mentioning. And we are contemplating yet another very, very costly, in terms of both blood and money, a costly foreign adventure in an area where we are universally hated more by the day. The fact that the Syrian rebels, well, okay, just this. Recently, they drive home a point they were attempting to make. They beheaded, as in cut the head off, a Catholic priest. So these are the kind of people presumably we're going to have in power in the aftermath. This is what's going to rise out of the ruins. And believe me, when you have ruins, the only thing that arises out of them are extreme fundamentalist types of societies in which intolerance is a key word. Returning, though, to Cascadia, yesterday our governor, Kitsaba, told state lawmakers that they should brace themselves for a potential special session of the legislature to deal with tax and pension questions. He's calling lawmakers back to Salem on the September 30th only, if it's clear that he'll actually succeed in his push to cut pension costs and increase tax revenue, except for the fact that pension costs, that's a promise made to people. It's a promise of a particular type of future. And snatching that away benefits no one. The reason for the tremendous shortfall in the budget has nothing to do with the people who are expecting to collect their pensions. Nothing whatsoever. It's bad management right straight down the line. The people who have caused this problem are the last to pay. Nonetheless, Kitsaba has been trying for months to reach a deal that would raise revenue to boost funding for schools and mental health treatment. We're worrying about that, and we're going off to Syria on the backs of pensioners who have every right to expect what's due them. Kitsaba also said he's also committed to including support for small businesses. And, of course, that's the key demand from state Republicans. Probably it should be one from Democrats, too. Kitsaba said he's meeting with House and Senate leaders from both parties this week in order to try and get it put together some kind of deal that would lower long-term pension costs by $5 billion and secure $200 million in new revenue. If you parse that out, in today's economy and looking at state budgets, $200 million is a drop in the bucket. That's nothing. That will get it. That's about a day of functioning in the state. A successful compromise will require support from both parties because the Democratic majority in both chambers doesn't have enough votes to raise taxes without some Republican support. They're not even. You can't keep running it on zero. We're running this state on fumes right now. Somewhere along the line, those who have benefited the most from the state's economy need to break a little off for the state's economy if we expect to have a state economy moving forward into the future. That said, the special session, end of the month, see what happens then back in Eugene, at a three-week-old camp in protest sleeps at the Wayne Morris Free Speech Plaza. Was broken up yesterday, as the world knows, people know. Yesterday, hours after the Lane County Board of Commissioners voted 4-1. And you know who the one was? Last man standing? Pete Sorensen. Go, Pete. 4-1 to enact an emergency closure of the plaza, the county-owned land around it, and the nearby butterfly parking lot. Protesters were given until the end of the afternoon to take down everything and pack up their belongings. They slowly trickled out of the plaza, off to who knows where. Where do you go? If you're already camped outside in the plaza, at the plaza, a free speech plaza, where do you go? By the late afternoon, about 25 people were left, some of them sweeping and piling up trash. The county began putting up the barriers around the plaza. Four people refused to leave and were cited for trespassing. Those people, in case anybody, if you want the names, it was Michael Patrick McFadden, Angela Barto, Michael Gannon, and Ashley DeCherry. Some of these names will no doubt be familiar to listeners. The protesters said that they would challenge the citations, and the closure is going to be used, as they say, to clean up all the areas, according to officials, following the initial complete closure, which can last up to a week. Then the areas will be, ta-da, reopened during the day, but closed between 11 p.m. and 6 a.m., which is when people normally sleep, which is why they're camped out there, because they need a place to sleep. That's right. Something you'd think would be a basic human right. And on that note, we'll see what happens. There will be follow-up. There will be repercussions. Sweeping people out of this free speech area does not indeed silence them, and nor does it solve any of the problems that they are speaking out against. Moving a little further south to California, majority of California Supreme Court justices seemed to dig in their heels yesterday. They are opposed to granting a law license to Sergio Garcia. Garcia graduated law school and passed the state's bar exam. But because, wait for it, I know you know what's coming next, because Garcia is undocumented, and he's been living in the United States for 20 years, during which time he managed to pick up a law degree. He's not going to be granted his license to practice law. The law was passed in Congress in 1996, which bars immigrants in the country without documents from receiving professional licenses from government agencies or with the use of public funds unless state lawmakers specifically vote otherwise. Justice Goodwin News said that one of the prominent voices on the California Supreme Court, as we know, said that it was commonsensical that Congress meant to include lawyer licenses in the law. The five other justices on the court made similar comments, essentially arguing that the law bars them from making Garcia a lawyer unless the state legislature acts. The court's got 90 days to rule in a case that has garnered national attention. And once again, the Obama administration is on the back foot against state officials supporting Garcia's application. Outside of court, Garcia is apparently, we tried to reach him by phone this morning, weren't able to get through, missed him by a hair's breadth, but we'll try and bring you his Sergio Garcia's story from the man himself, see how it's working out. I take a wild guess at who he's going to sue first once he gets the license. And where the Keystone XL ends, cancer rates are 15% higher. Mortality rates 40% higher than average. If the Keystone XL pipeline is built, as we know, it will start in the tar sand fields of Alberta, Canada, and then end up in Fort Arthur, Texas, two places on the planet visible from space that have been so ravaged that they would appear to be uninhabitable. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's toxic release inventory places Jefferson County, Port Arthur, among the very worst in the nation for air releases of chemicals known to cause cancer, birth defects, and reproductive disorders. In a state that regularly records an excess of 2,500 toxic emission events per year, Port Arthur is near the top of the pile of offending cities. Moving right along as we close in on the end of the show for today, Mayor Michael Bloomberg is keeping his promise. Yes, indeed. He filed a lawsuit against the New York City Council to overturn one of the two laws passed last month to curtail the New York City Police Department Stop and Frisk program. Yep, mayor's suing. And the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press is also on board with the lawsuit, arguing that NSA metadata collection interferes with rights. More on that tomorrow. And right now, the situation, as we are in a holding pattern, Vladimir Putin has called John Kerry a liar, straight up, on Syrian opposition. Opposition, the plucky rebels, are seemingly drawn from literally thousands, I do mean thousands, of different militia groups, most of which would subscribe to the basic tenets of the al-Qaeda view of the world. The Syrian rebels beheaded a Catholic priest, and the Vatican, of course, has words to say about that. We are right up against the time. This has been Cascadia for Thursday, September 5th, 2013. Rock Bergeron engineered the show today. Thanks so much, Rock. Kathleen Stevenson's the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.